everybody, welcome back to the Great and Terrible AHS. We're here to talk about Freak Show, and it's Edward Mordrake? Edward Mordrake time, kind of, a little, part one, allegedly, part two of the episode for us, though. Just to get right into it, because this is a part two, last time we ended with a twin having a dream about having another twin cut off of them. The first twin perceived the second twin's dream and inquired them about it. We can't go into that again, so let's just move on. That's where we ended. And one twin turned to the other and said, yeah, I would be totally cool with having you cut off even if it killed you. The end. Ta-da. That's what mattered from that scene. All right. So now instead, we move to... He's also the ringmaster, by the way, joined by Miss Shadow Lovely and Slowbeef. Hey, gang. Hello.
Hello.
I just figured we'd steamroll into this. Is Elsa the ringmaster? Like, what is her position?
They say, like, troop leader, I think. Like, in passing, I guess.
Yeah. Yeah. I feel like that shouldn't have been as much hesitation as there was, but yeah, I'm not totally sure.
Yeah. Yeah, what are your main characters? And I'm just like, what does Chunky do? And you're like, ooh, I don't know.
What does Chunky and Chunky Circus do?
She's there, right? Like, we know that.
Yeah.
And she's got no legs. And,
yeah.
Ostensibly, people listen to her sometimes, unless they're Dell and they don't feel like it.
Yeah. Yeah, you're getting it. No, No, the thing about... Yeah, go ahead, sorry.
Yeah.
I was going to say, like, she's in charge for some reason. I guess she got the band together, and now she's, like, here, and they're like, oh, well, you know, it's Elsa. So, that's all I got.
Gotta feel that. Yeah, so, we've come to Elsa just smoking a opium pipe in her tent, which I guess that just, we were supposed to assume everybody's doing it after the scene where they, like, sexually assaulted a nurse for a while. So... She's in here smoking opium. Does it ever serve a purpose? But I guess it's to claim she's like in an increased state of suggestibility, perhaps.
Yeah, anytime this show has somebody ingest alcohol or a substance of any kind, it's to either justify them doing something stupid or evil. Though a lot of the time the substance that they have that person ingest would not make them react the way that it does. This one's fairly neutral. It's just like, she is smoking opium and now she's...
Her guard's down.
Yeah, her guard's down.
Yeah.
Which, my only problem with that is, I'm willing to bet that 99% of the most destructive decisions in human history were made sober. Jimmy's bringing in Esmeralda, who is the alleged fortune teller who's, like, working with another scammer to get Siamese twin organs, I think.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Is that some... Despite everything, that's correct.
Yeah. That's what they allude to is what they're doing. Which, again, I would like to reiterate, in case people have forgotten between our last episode and now, that I said when they first, like, set this up in the opening of the episode that, like, the amount of effort and money it probably cost to pull this, like, heist off, there is no way it is worth the payout of... maybe being able to sell the organs of some non-known conjoined twin, not even a famous one, just like a normal one.
The only way I could find it justified is if everybody involved in the plan is into it in like a weird way, right? Like if it's like a sex thing or if it's just like they have a dark fascination or something, like there would be something there. So at least you can give them that, you know, excuse, unless later on one of the characters turns emphatically to the camera and says, I don't want to do this. So they bring in the fortune teller and they have a little back and forth about whether or not she's real, to which Elsa ends on, oh, I wouldn't be so easily tricked by a pretty face, Jimmy. And then Jimmy leaves. The fortune teller comes in with a big-ass crystal ball, plops it down on the table, and then does an attempt to display, like, a hot read, but it's not really super well done. They have her just, like, glance around the room at three random items that like have names on them, but they aren't really great context clues. What they're trying to do is, a lot of times fortune tellers will have information about people in advance. In the modern era, it still happens. They'll just use like Facebook is the big thing, right? Like if you sign up on Facebook and say you're coming to an event, then the person who's running that event goes, great, and looks at all of your Facebook information and they're like, sick, I know how many uncles this fool has. Like it's super easy. And they have her look around the room, but it, like, she just kind of looks at some name tags for a second. It's not super well illustrated, in my opinion.
It almost makes it like they do a really bad job, because it almost makes it seem like she is like psychic in this scene. Because like if you're not like locked in and watching the episode, you can easily miss the 1.5 second long scene
or, like,
of her looking
aware
around the room.
Of what hot reading is.
Yeah.
Like if you just don't know it, you won't pick up that she's doing it.
Like a better way would be to illustrate to us, the audience, because God knows they don't like have any qualms about treating us like idiots, the show. they like the easy hand-holdy way of illustrating this would be having her like hold her hand over the ball and being like, I'm getting a name, I'm getting a woman's name, and then show a shot of her eyes darting to the photo book and seeing the name and then saying the name. So that it's easy to put together two and two, like, oh, okay, she's not psychic, she's just reading paper that luckily was in this room, because I don't know what her backup plan was if there wasn't anything in this room.
So, also strange choice by Elsa to like keep a name label of her number one hater.
Wait till the season finale when Elsa slowly lets a coffee cup slip from her fingers and just like Agent Kuyon. But it's also like, I mean, it's weird too that she falls for it, because I feel like this is a thing, like, you know, cold reading, hot reading, all that, like, it's a thing, like, I feel like that's all in Elsa's world, you know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
But
and she even says something to the effect when she sees Maggie, because again, Maggie is played by Emma Roberts, is that the right Emma? It's not Emma Stone, Emma Roberts, the one who was Madison in the last season.
I think that's Roberts, yeah, I think you're right.
And is she even...
Emma Roberts, you are correct. Okay. I have vibe checked.
Sick. Okay. Elsa even says something to the effect of, like, I've never seen a fortune teller that looks like you. You're way too white to be doing this. And I'm like, all right, weird flex, but okay, Elsa. And then she says something, Maggie, who's pretending to be Esmeralda. See, like, at that point, because she says something to the effect of, like, I didn't choose the gift, like, the gift chose me. And, like, that's fine. Like, I feel like that actually might give you some more. Like, if you are someone who, like, buys into that sort of thing, if someone is like, yeah, that's how you can tell I'm not, like, just doing this as an act, is I don't look like you would expect me to. But then she chose the fake name Esmeralda. Like,
yeah,
that's really the big problem for me as well. Yeah. It's like, if she just came in and was like, yeah, my name's Wendy, I'd be like, okay,
yeah,
all
yeah.
right, that's
yeah.
Wendy. She's here to read my fortune. All right, sure. Weird little white girl. Why not?
But she's like, yeah, Esmeralda.
Like, I'm Esmeralda. And I'm just like, you have some interesting takes on Twitter, I bet.
But she falls for it. Elsa falls for it. Basically, Maggie gives her this reading by looking around the room, saying like, oh, I see a woman named Marlena and she stole your music career, but it's okay because you're going to be a great musical performer and some elegant, refined man with dark hair will show up and make you a star. And then she like passes out. This is like Saw levels of holy shit, if even one thing goes wrong in this giant heist plan, it is all horrifically ruined. First and foremost, the guy that she like is working with, that is not how I would describe, like, obviously she's setting it up for like her partner to come in and be the elegant, refined man she's talking about. I wouldn't look at that guy and think that ever. So it's
yeah,
a weird descriptor. And in fact, who could say, maybe they're giving this much descriptor to the man that's going to show up and make her a star, because Elsa's dumb as shit and is going to mistake another person. Who could say? Maybe that would be maybe they gave too much detail, and maybe it makes it less believable that something else happens later. Who could say that this show has never done anything like that? It's fine. But anyway, no. Maggie pretends to faint and lays on the ground. Now it's time for more Dell. I know everybody's like,
yay,
so excited.
Not only is it time for Dell, it's time for the most extraneous Dell plot line in a series of extraneous Dell plot lines. Beef, you wanna take this one?
Do I have to? No, it's true. Yeah, he's in his trailer, you know. He's lifting weights. He's being a strong man. That's what's going uh-huh. on. And Desiree comes
he's,
in.
He's doing a little bent over dumbbell row. Yeah, hoo-ha, there hoo-ha. You go. Big little sphere weights. You bet.
And Desiree comes in, and they make a drink, and they start getting it on. Or, you know, she kind of like. Starts to, you know, rub him over clothes.
Okay,
and
to be clear, he goes to her first because she offers a drink and he goes, oh, no, I'm staying clean. You know, I'm working on my fitness, which I'm like, same, Del, same.
Yeah.
And then he comes on to her really strong and they kind of like settle back to a chair. And yeah, she starts like really aggressively sanding. Rubbing his dick.
Sanding. Like, yeah. Like,
yeah, really trying to like rug burn that cock. Not the optimal
trying to
play,
get that
usually.
Chrome shine on it.
Yeah.
Make it reflective like, by the time it's over. Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, unfortunately, he doesn't do great.
Nah.
He can't. He has erectile dysfunction. Blames it on lifting, which. As a lifter, no. There's problems that come with lifting. That one only really comes up if you use like a really large amount of steroids and like real ass steroids too. Not like I'm talking like trenbolone and stuff. Not stuff they would have in the 50s or what the fuck ever, right? Like they'd just be like, yeah, I pulled this out of a cow's ass. Is this anything? Is this any bigger? And then, yeah, after this, she kind of pops off at him for, you know, oh, you make every excuse, it's the same thing. And he goes, oh, I don't know, it's just the lifting. And then he just, like, goes full evil mode after that. Like, this was the thing that made Del go, like, yeah, sure, I killed a guy and moved across the country for my wife, who I love the most. But, I hate her now. I'm over it.
Yeah, he has this, like, it's... And they're not doing a good... If the point is that he's supposed to be kind of like hot and cold like all the time, they're doing a piss poor job of illustrating it. It mostly reads like they didn't know what they wanted his character to be and they needed him to be different things in order to serve like certain plot beats.
Mm-hmm.
Because it's like watching the movie Split with James McAvoy. Like one moment he's like, I am a wife guy and I love my wife more than anything ever. and then 1.5 seconds later, he's like, I'm going to beat my wife. I hate my bitch wife. My bitch wife is always making fun of my erectile dysfunction.
My dumb potato bitch wife keeps trying to feed me drinks and then blames my penis.
I don't like it when my wife tries to buff my penis chrome.
Don't you hate that, guys? Anyone? Hello? Oh.
Yeah, and so Desiree just, you know, reasonably is like, don't ever touch me again. We're done. Bye. Okay, see ya. Del leaves and runs across Ethel, who's just drinking in the middle of a field looking at a lake sadly, which... Oh, man. That's like a cool southern way to leave this earth, though, I gotta say. That's like chill vibes. And Del just walks up, and they kind of go at each other a little bit, and I think it's like supposed to be kind of endearing, like, oh, you can tell these two used to be in a relationship, but it's like... I don't like either of these characters.
Yeah, it's like one of those videos of like two cats that have clearly lived together for like a really long time, like probably their whole lives, and like they want to start a fight, like they both have their paws up and are like lightly like kind of swinging at each other, but neither of them is making contact, and they both just look kind of pissed off, but like neither of them is actually fighting. It's the same vibe. It's the same vibe these two are giving off.
Also, you like cats, but here...
That's true.
You know?
That's
also,
true.
So, Ethel kind of reads that he's clearly pissed off and asks Del, like, oh, you getting a fight with Triple Tits or whatever? Which, if it wasn't for the weird butchered accent, I probably would have appreciated the line more.
Yeah, that's kind of a sick accent, or a kind of a sick nickname. Like, if I had three boobs,
yeah.
Like, yeah, you can call me Triple Tits. That sounds sick as hell. That sounds like a
And then
a
everyone
move.
Could just call you, like, TT. That'd yeah. be sick. That'd be a great nickname. So, then he tells, or, you know, he kind of, like, yells at her about, like, hey, don't talk about my wife that way. And then she hands him a bottle of whiskey that she was working on, or a flask, rather. He takes a drink, and she asks him for a favor, and, she just kind of like sees through the ones and zeros and is like, you couldn't get it up. Which I'm not sure how she like solved that riddle. Okay, so that's a
all I can figure here, because it is such a random thing for her to immediately be like, ah, you fighting with Triple Tits because you can't get your dick hard. The only thing I can think of is like, this is what he's known for. Like, everybody knows this about him. It's like, oh, Del can't get his dick hard. Old soft dick Del. Like, and just, like, everyone's like...
They had a child!
Well, I mean, you can have a child with somebody whose dick sometimes doesn't work. Like, I can't imagine they only had sex once.
I know that, but it's not the way it is explained. Look, that would get mentioned, I feel, in this story, in this day and age. I don't know if they had the full technology for, like, artificial insemination, if that's right. Mm-hmm. Look, I just... How does she know this? How does she know this? Because it sounds like it's a new problem, too, right? Because, like, Desiree clearly is... like, upset about it, so it can't have been an all-the-time food. I don't know. I guess I don't know.
Maybe he's
I think
just
we're not getting
it doesn't matter.
Enough information, really, you know? It's just sort of like,
they
oh, yeah.
Should give us more information about Del's dick. You're right, Slow Beef.
Yeah.
I'm just saying, but, like, you know, yeah, because it's kind of like, all right, well, you know, they have a kid. Oh, yeah. And then they're just like, let's just gloss over. Let's just move on. It's okay. We're done right
so,
here.
And yeah, the conversation they have is like really meaningless and doesn't really move the story forward in a meaningful fashion. It's just like, oh, did you pretend to love me when we had Jimmy, when we conceived a child? And Del like obviously lies and goes, no, I just, don't you know, men jump on every first pussy they see. Hey, it's me, Del. I'm a piece of shit now.
Yeah.
And like,
yeah. And we're going to see like then, how long they were together. And this is like. This, I guess, I don't think they intended this, but this, like, is gaslighting. Like, not just regular lying, but, like, gaslighting. Because we're about to see, like, later in the episode how long they were together. And it was, like, a while. So for him to be like, yeah,
oh,
no,
yeah.
I
he
just,
claims,
I just
led
wanted...
you on for 5 minutes.
Yeah.
And then he's like, yeah, men will just jump on whatever pussy they see. I'm like, and then lovingly have a relationship with them for like 2 years, like,
and support their career yeah. and try to help them reach new
Andrew
professional
Tate
heights.
Wasn't
yeah.
around, all right. Now leave me alone. I know, like, now. God damn
I'm like,
it.
Brother, you know she was there too, right? Like, you can't just lie about it. Like, she was there.
Oh, yeah, I only knew Ethel for, like, 20 minutes. I am Ethel. What? Huh?
Oh, jeez.
Oh, so you are. I seem to have forgotten, because I only knew you for such a short period of time. Oh,
I got it.
Yeah.
And, yeah, just asks, just promise me you won't let Jimmy know you're his dad. And also keep an eye on him.
That, what? Yeah, right? Like,
which,
what?
James is an adult. We're not calling him Jimmy for this discussion. He's now James
yeah.
until the end of this scene. James is an adult, and you need to stop treating James like he's 11. I beg.
You know, I could even kind of sort of get behind, like, I'm going to die soon. I'm not, like, I'm just, like, you know, keep an eye, make sure he doesn't get into too much trouble or something, even though it is a little, it's pretty inappropriate. But, like, still, like, this guy, like, this piece of shit who is, like, going to kill him in the crib?
Who abandoned you?
Right.
Yeah. Who, as we'll learn later on, sold your misery for scraps.
I know. Like, I need you to do me a solid on this one. Like, what the fuck? fuck no. Like, that's not happening. Like, you know, I'm not, I don't know much about these characters, but I just, I feel like that's not happening. Like, no
world. Like, why would you even trust him? Like, it's not even like, oh, he seems to have changed since he came back. Like, he's only been here for like 5 hours and he's already caused like 7 fights.
No,
he
just
beat the shit out of Jimmy.
Including beating up Jimmy. Yeah. He literally went and beat the shit out of James.
Keep an eye out of that kid, Jimmy. Oh, the one I beat the shit. Ooh, this is going to be awkward when I explain this, you know? Like, what?
And then it ends on Del going, sorry, I was a, or not even just like, I guess I was a pretty bad dad. It might have been cool to be a good dad. Oh, well. Oh, well. That's life, I guess. So we hard cut back to another part of the circus. We have the Amazon Eve, who's running around setting up stuff, setting up Halloween decorations. And in one of the pumpkins, they have Ma Petite, who, in case you've forgotten, is the world's smallest lady. And she just, pops out of a jack-o'-lantern, which I can't imagine is, like, a terribly pleasant place to, like, vibe. They're pretty, like, slimy,
and
goopy,
stinky.
Wet.
That's why I can't carve pumpkins. The inside of pumpkins are stinky, like, real stinky.
Oh, you don't like the smell of a hot squash?
No.
No, hot squash girl?
Not a fan of that weird, like, wet dog fart smell that's inside of a pumpkin.
Oh, yeah. That's the stuff. Just like the swamp. Oh, yeah.
How long do you think she was in there? Because, like, Amazon Eve is, like, decorating. So, like, she's probably been
she's
gone
been here
a while.
For a bit.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That is a pretty good bit. That is a good bit for Ma Petite. Like, if I was small enough to fit in something like a pumpkin or even, like, a fake pumpkin, I might hang out in there and just see if I could get anybody. Like, someone might come by.
If I hid in a pumpkin, I wouldn't be able to surprise anyone because they would walk up and go, wow, that's a huge goddamn pumpkin. Whoa. And then I would come out and they'd be like, why were you in that unnaturally large pumpkin, regular sized man?
Yeah, they'd probably look at you and be like, oh, I see you found the big pumpkin too.
A regular man in the big pumpkin.
Friggin' carnies. They're always pulling that.
So, I regret to inform you, we're going to hit the scene that I will just say I am the person who has not seen a lot of horror media. So for me, this next scene was truly pointless and didn't make sense in character, didn't make sense in narrative, didn't make sense in context, and didn't serve a purpose or drive the plot forward. But I think I should leave it to one of y'all who has seen the Michael Myers film original.
You want to go for it, Liz?
Yeah.
Okay.
I'll just seethe here for a second. So we talked about how in the last episode, there's a shot of Twisty at the beginning that as soon as I saw it, I was like, okay, motherfuckers, we've all seen Halloween. Like, this is clearly emulating the very, very classic, like, horror icon scene, the iconic scene of Michael Myers standing halfway behind the, it's the first time you ever see Michael Myers. It's like it's a huge moment in horror history. So like most people who are super into horror recognize it. And immediately I clocked it. I'm like, okay, you dumb motherfuckers, I've seen Halloween. It makes no sense that Twisty is doing it. Whatever. And I just figured it was them just ripping off one scene because it was a Halloween themed episode and they wanted to take something from a more relevant property. Then this happened. So if you've seen Halloween, the very first like 5 minutes of the movie is setting up who Michael Myers is. And it is, again, a very iconic sequence of events. And it's from the point of view of, I think he's like four or five.
Oh, so he's
scene.
A child,
he's
right?
Yeah,
he's
five.
Just like a really big, important thing to how the scene functions as a whole is that it's a child.
Yeah.
Child. Cannot emphasize enough. Like, not even like 8 or 9. Like,
toddler plus.
He's like barely talking, probably. And not talking at all because it's Michael Myers. But like, and it's from the point of view of inside of a mask. I think it's a clown mask.
It's a William Shatner mask. Oh, wait, no, wait. I'm sorry. You mean in the show or original?
No, the original. But he doesn't have the William Shatner mask, I don't think, as the baby. I think he gets out later, but I don't know where he gets it from. And basically, like, you can tell that you're kind of at a lower perspective because it's from the POV of a child. and like a child like navigating around the room, and he walks in on his older sister, who's supposed to be babysitting him, but instead she's getting her back blown out by her boyfriend. That's like neither here nor there. It's just to like set up why she wasn't paying attention when he came in with a giant fucking knife.
Mm-hmm.
But he does, and then she's like, Michael, why, get out of here, my titties are out, and then he stabs her to death. Mm-hmm. And then it cuts to his parents arriving home, and he's standing outside covered in blood with a knife. And his parents are like, oh, are you okay? Like, what's going on? And they go inside and find that he murdered his sister. And like the whole impetus of the scene is that there is a very distinct purpose. And that's to show us that like this person is so evil that he was born evil. He was born pure evil. And the reason he does what he does is because he is, even at being like 3 or 4, he is just irreparably depraved and will kill people.
He is the scorpion. It is his nature. He simply kills because that's what Michael Myers does.
He's
a malevolent force. Yeah.
And so it's very important that he's a child in this scene. And B, the perspective of all that is to add to the emphasis on the fact that he is a child and he is an evil child and he's not meant to be like argued with, basically. There's no point in arguing with him because he's an evil baby. Like, you don't argue with an evil baby.
And that's the thing, is like the initial is almost like a parent telling a child who just went, oh, you know, what do you have there? A knife. And then be like, no, this is instead an adult man walking up to a lady with a knife, kind of shuffling at her and being like, I'm gonna get you, which doesn't have the same impact as like a child kind of toddling at you with a knife and then fucking taking a swing. Like, that's so much worse.
I think what they're trying to do, and they do, because they do this later with, and it works better with a different movie thing where they put him in there, you know, like, and you know, it's supposed to be like Dandy's like messing this up in a way, you know what I mean? Like, it's like, oh, he's doing the Halloween march, but he's not because Dandy sucks. And this scene just, I feel like it doesn't really work because the connection's not totally there. Like, I've seen Halloween, I kind of knew what they were going for, but like, I will say when I first watched this, like, but back when, like, I totally missed that. And like, I don't really know what they're going for, except there's a later scene with Dandy and another horror movie where something happened. And that, I think, is much like clearer. Here it's just like, all right, Dandy's dressed like a clown. He's not doing, you know what I mean?
And yeah, I guess to finish the scene, he's dressed as a clown. He walks up to the maid and is like
behind the
clearly
mask, by the
doing.
Way. We forgot to mention. Yeah, this is a 1-to-1 of the POV shot. Like, we are inside the mask.
Oh, yeah, I forgot about that.
They are fully ripping off the POV shot, but it is clearly from the POV of a man who is 6 foot plus tall, and he is very clearly Dandy. Because we know this house and we know who Dora is. So, like, it's not any mystery. So the thing that makes this scene work in Halloween is blatantly absent. Also, this was the point where when I was watching it, I'm like, okay, the first one I was willing to write off as you guys being lazy. But the second one, this is now not a coincidence. And it's also not satire because you're trying to use it as a real scene in your show without like showing what you're doing. And I was even Amazon, because I watch it on Amazon, even the Amazon overlay was like, we cannot pretend that this is not ripping off Halloween. Here's a trivia snippet that says it appears that this show, that American Horror Story, is referencing Halloween 1978. I'm like, thank you, Amazon.
Yes, it does appear that way for some reason.
Except, so here's the problem, though. So we have the setup. Dandy's walking in, dressed as clown, POV, et cetera, walks in and starts to threaten Dora, except whereas in the original, it's a child who then does do it and takes a swing, and it's scary. They couldn't have Dandy just kill Dora right now because it wouldn't make any sense. So she just goes, I'm not afraid of you. You aren't really good at killing people. And then he like pees his pants mad and leaves. And that's it. Because the first time when Twisty was just standing there menacingly, I was like, that was stupid. But like, okay, whatever. This one, though, it's like you put a whole scene in your show that's just bad and doesn't serve a purpose. Like, all it does is like Dandy and the maid hate each other. Yeah, no, I got that already. Anything else? No. No, that's it. It's like, cool. So you literally were so obsessed with plagiarism, you just dropped this in because there's like no reason for it, because it doesn't work in the story. Like, if you're gonna reference another thing, sure, that's great, that's fine, you can do that, that's legal. But don't like take a scene from another context and another movie and another property and put it into yours when they aren't, like, they don't match up. The parts aren't the same. It doesn't work.
It is interesting, though, because, like, because it made me so mad, like, I hadn't thought about, like, what this scene would come across as just to someone who hasn't seen Halloween, like, just from a thematic perspective. And, you're right. Totally. Like, it just shows, like, it's a whole big 2-minute sequence of like Dandy being a huge bitch, which I feel like kind of deflates his character.
Yeah.
He's like, he has like a Patrick Bateman thing going on of like, well, if you can't hear his inner monologue, which we can't, then he's like infinitely more creepy because you're like, this dude is completely unhinged, but he seems like very cheerful and like high energy. And so you don't know what he's going to do. But when he gets an opportunity to do something like bad, he pisses his pants. And it kind of is like a big moment of like, well, that kind of made him less like, even because he throws a tantrum when Dora like is like, do it, bitch, and he can't, and then he like gets super mad and is like, I hate you, and storms off. It's so like pathetic versus when he goes to the circus earlier to speak to Jimmy to ask to join the circus, and then it's like, oh, I hate you, and he's like banging his head on the thing. That's unsettling. That's like effective. That was good.
Yeah, like I like that part of it, but now even too they like overuse that I hate you thing where it's almost like catchphrasey now, you know, like before it was kind of like, whoa, what the heck, and now it's like, yeah, well, that's dandy for you.
Because before it was like, yeah, you meet people like this at your place of work who are like kind of weird but seem nice enough, and like you have to tell them no and they seem to take it okay, but they're clearly not fully okay with it. So, like, what's the one natural human fear and anxiety? Oh, as soon as they walk out of the room, they're going and slamming their head against a steering wheel, planning to kill me while they scream. Like, that's, yeah, it's horrifying. Like, especially if you've worked in any kind of service industry. Yeah, you've had to tell people, like, the number of times I had to tell people, no, I can't get you another beer. Sorry, man, you just fell out of the fucking seat. Like, I can't get you a beer. Like, absolutely. Yeah, so regardless, that scene is done, and it added nothing but time. And it's time for the dumbest call, perhaps, in the show so far, which is Maggie, who is the Maggie, a.k.a. Esmeralda. Do we want to pick which one we're using? Can we just say Maggie?
Yeah, I never wrote Esmeralda late after that first time.
Beautiful. Okay, so Maggie's calling her partner in crime from a payphone to go, hey, you know how we had a plan to send me to a freak show to like get a bunch of freak stuff? Yeah, there's freaks here and I can't take it.
I don't like it.
Am I missing? Did I miss something? I watched this again like 30 minutes ago. Did I forget something? Did something else happen?
No, she just wasn't expecting there to be so many. It's not even like he could have pretended that, like, the plan was something different and, like, tricked her into it. Because, like, she came in with the bit that she is a fortune teller. So, like, she knows. She's aware of, like, where she was headed and, like, what the scam was going to be. I don't... Very strange. I know we always do, like, notes... editor's notes for the show that like would have made it better, but if I were to be the one in the writer's room who was writing this, I would have her like say some, like, he overhear a couple of the people at the circus talking about like how they fucking killed a cop and how like the twins were like suspected of doing a serial killing and how there was still a serial killer on the loose, like have her hear all those things and then have her be like, I think something bad's going on here. I don't want to be here anymore.
I think you nailed it.
Yeah, we're in too deep. I'm leaving. This is too much. Something else is going on. Yeah, like I'm actually going to get killed here.
100%.
Which, if it's in Florida, you can just say that in any place in Florida and the other person has to believe you and allow you to leave. That's Florida.
Yeah, absolutely. 100%.
I'm worried I'm going to get killed here. Where are you? In Jacksonville. Okay.
All right. Yeah, get out of there, gamer.
So I don't understand how she wasn't prepared for this in any way, shape, or form. That was the whole setup. We have a flashback to her being introduced to the twins by Jimmy because they just couldn't have worked this in naturally earlier when she was walking in. And it's just a real short thing of Bette and Dot are jealous of the pretty girl who's talking to Jimmy. Sure, I guess. Who gives a shit? Who cares? And then she tells Stanley, like, oh, by the way, there were conjoined twins, her partner in crime. And he's like, oh, my God, this is great news. About how big are they? A bread box? A Honda Civic? And she's like, why do you need that information? She's like, I'm going to put them in a jar. Like, all right, man. So this is where she goes, like, I didn't agree to murder. And I'm like, you agreed specifically to an organ harvesting plan. Like, what did you think that did you think you were gonna like get them like now and they were gonna walk it off?
I was just hoping they'd have some extras when I showed up.
Yeah, like what? I don't understand what the plan is at all. Also, he asked questions. He's like, they have 8 limbs, 4 limbs, and it's like, did none of you look up any information?
Yeah, you just like, set her down there and recon, like figure it out. Right? Like you'd think. But,
yeah. That's so cool. Now is time for the good part of the phone call.
Yes.
And that's what's going on after the phone call. This is very confusing. This is where it's like, I'm not even sure they meant to have the payphone scene, because the way that the phone call ends is simultaneously Stanley's like, I gotta let you go. I gotta attend to some business. And we'll get to what the fuck that is in just a second, because it will be very important to me specifically.
The best. Yeah, me too. Yeah. It's good.
But simultaneously, as he's like doing the, you're going through a tunnel, like trying to get off the phone, she also gets pulled up on by some cops and is like, oh shit, I have to go. And I'm like, this is a TV show. Those two things didn't have to happen. You could have picked one of them. You're in control of this. You're doing this. Like, why did we have to have the phone call have two endings? Like, we only needed one of those things to happen. Like, I don't understand. Yeah, anyway, that really irritated me, where I'm like, you directed this scene. Like, you didn't have to have two things in the phone call. It's so weird. Now, before we move on, actually, I guess there's a little, let's get the cop thing out of the way, because it's way less cool and funny.
Yeah.
A cop comes up to Jimmy, who's resting on a motorcycle, and she comes out of the payphone, and the cop's like, your curfew is almost 10 minutes from now. Get the fuck out of here. And there's a little scuffle. They argue a little, and then Maggie's like, cool it. We gotta leave. Yeah. And then they leave.
Yeah.
And it's like really bad cop back talk. Like, in the modern era, I expect you to really be mean to cops if you want to make me happy. You know, you used to be like really mean to cops. So like him just being like, oh, you stinky bunch of pigs, you killed Meep. I'm like, honestly, at this point, I like kind of am like up with the Meep killing.
Yeah. It's
like, I'm just sick of y'all talking about it. Like, honestly, you're overrating Meep and it's starting to piss me off. I'm going to make a YouTube video about this. Like, I'm over
Meep's
I'm over
list
it. And Meep's canceled.
Meep's tier list and it's just Meep on the bottom tier.
Yeah.
No, nothing else.
Like, Meep.
No, Meep is awful. I don't think there's any redeeming
Meep.
Oh,
God. And yeah, for the first time in recorded history, Maggie tells someone to cool it, and it works. He does cool it, and he gets on a bike and rides off. Then, what actually matters, we hard cut to two sweet, juicy cheeks. That's right, baby. Hard cut to a delicious man ass.
It's kind of a jump scare. You don't really expect it either. It's just like, what?
It's like funny that they do a horror shot angle of like his butt cheeks taking up half the screen, and then the other half of the screen is the guy in the distance. Like, it's like a horror framing shot, but with butt cheeks, and it's so funny. I'm like, guys, you're so bad at horror, except when you're trying to be sexy. We gotta figure this out.
Maybe that's the takeaway. The scariest things in life is a bare man's ass. Nothing else is scarier. Being pregnant. Yeah, sorry, this show wants you to know that being pregnant is way scarier.
Oh God! And so, the guy's got a funny Viking helmet on, and Stanley like really struggles with metaphors here, where he's like, "Oh, I've never slept with a." I think he says like some kind of god, like a Viking god before.
Yeah, but he straight up calls him Thor.
If you're Thor, if you're Thor, there's one thing you're missing. And the dude says a hammer, which, yeah, that's like a euphemism for a big cock. That's like known. Like, people refer to a big cock as a hammer. That's like acceptable slang. That's totally cool. You can say that anywhere in America, and people will be like, oh, talking about a big dick.
You know, I'm going to complain about something. I haven't heard that metaphor, but fortunately from context clues, I was able to intuit that's probably what he meant.
It's not hard. Yeah, it's not a lot. Like, oh, you mean something with a handle that you grab and swing real hard? Fuck it. Penis.
Yeah, it turns out innuendo is actually quite easy to do with most things, as long as there's a lot of context leading up to it.
Absolutely.
Like you're a naked man in a Viking hat staring down another man lying down on a bed being like, come get me, big boy. Yeah, that does kind of give away that he's talking about his penis.
Stanley fucking sucks, and he hated the MCU, and he says, no, it's supposed to be a sword. And I'm like, all right, this is like what? A level of pedantics I'm not familiar with. So your game, Stanley.
The thing that is incredible to me is I was expecting it to go the other way. The other way would make sense, because then it'd be like, ah, he's a big dork. Of like, oh, his sword, and you're like, no, Thor has a hammer. Come give me that hammer, dude. Like, right. You know, like something like that would be like, okay, he's a nerd too. But instead he's like, wrong. He like corrects him to be wrong, and it's insane.
The phallic thing was a sword.
I want this RP to be less accurate, actually. This RP about a Viking god.
My man tries to pull like a close up, like breathy whisper move. Like he's gonna, like, I'm gonna ASMR this man to take my pants off. But he does it in the worst way possible. He like gets real close and he's like, take my pants off. It's like,
it made me physically recoil when he did it. I was like, same. Holy shit, brother.
I was like fine with this scene, and then as soon as he was like, I was like, I gotta leave, I gotta pause this, I gotta go.
Like, back up, you're so close, back up, dude.
Yeah, really pushed it into the I'm not supposed to be here kind of situation. And then they decide to do, like, he does take his pants off, and I guess this is why they didn't give this fella many lines, because it's probably the worst two words of acting in this entire episode. The pants come off, and apparently there's something going on with Stanley's genitals, because boy howdy, if there's anything American Horror Story loves, it's bad to be pregnant, and what if genitals were fucked up? And like, the guy just like pulls him off and just goes, Jesus Christ. It's like not even a reaction. Like, he just says Jesus Christ. It's not a reaction to anything.
Like, fully, I expected the next words to be Jason Bourne. Like, for him to be like, Jesus Christ, it's Jason Bourne. Like, the way he delivers it is so wild. Although, honestly, now that I'm saying that and, like, playing out the scene in my head, that is kind of a kick-ass thing to do when you, like, pull a dude's pants down and, like, see his dick for the first time. Jesus Christ, it's Jason Bourne. Yeah.
Pretty good bit, actually. It's like, hey, I think that was a compliment. Yeah, right, we can go with this, sure. Yeah.
Yeah, honestly, if someone told me my dick was one of the most wanted men in the world, I'd be like,
yeah, right. All right. I would like.
He's dangerous.
I would like go with it at the time, and then later would be like, that was a pretty good compliment, you know?
Okay, can we circle back?
Yeah, it'd
back?
Be like if a guy at the gym said, you look like J. Jonah Jameson, and you go, what are you talking about? I don't look anything like J. Jonah Jameson. And you have to like pull your friends to, sorry, this happened to me recently. I don't look like J.
You
Jonah Jameson.
Don't, no.
I don't.
Well, it's me.
So. So, Jesus Christ, there's something wrong with Stanley's genitals, I guess.
We have to assume it's something good, because I feel like if it's bad and you look at the dick and say Jesus Christ, then like that's an inside thought. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah, I
you
thought,
just keep it to yourself.
I thought it was supposed to be reacting to something bad, because to me it didn't. I don't know. There was no joy in the expression, right? It wasn't like, whoo! Like, it was more just like,
oof,
it,
yeah.
It was like seeing, shipwreck for the first time. Being like, Jesus Christ, something happened here. Like, that kind of thing. Like, you know, seeing a war-torn battlefield.
I don't know. It just feels like, because I'm pretty sure the implication is that this is, like, a prostitute. Like, I just feel like that's... It makes the person feel bad, I think, if
they
you say it out
to,
if you say
for
it out
what
loud.
It's worth, all of the sex workers in American Horror Story have just been trash at their job.
That's
so
true.
I'm
except
not
for
yeah.
Jimmy.
Not surprised. Yeah. Well, he hates it though. He's the lamenting sex worker. Yeah.
He's too good at his job and he hates it.
There's no room for
I
career.
Wish I could quit, but the ladies need me.
Speaking of the ladies, we haven't seen those two housewives from the beginning of the episode in a while. And thankfully for all of us, they are apparently reoccurring characters. They're at one of their houses complaining about Dragnet, which is a really weird thing for them to have written to the show. I don't know who that was for. I don't know who that bit was for, but it lands very strangely. It hits the ear wrong. It's like how, you know, sometimes in like a movie or a TV show, there will be like a super blatant product placement where they're like, oh, I'm so thirsty. I could sure go for a cold Pepsi. Like, and you're like, oh, okay. Well, clearly they paid to have a spot in this movie. But I don't think anybody from Dragnet paid, American Horror Story to be brought up inorganically in this conversation in this way. I don't know who's still advertising for Dragnet, but alas. Either way, the little girl from earlier who fucking hates clowns is like playing dolls in her room because that's the only thing they could think of that a little girl would be doing. And her brother, who's a shithead and dressed as a clown, comes in to like fuck with her. And then Twisty, who kicks ass actually... comes up behind the brother who's like fucking with her and is like just standing behind the brother and he does like a shush motion with his finger. This child had no problem screaming earlier when she saw Twisty, but I guess maybe him being in the house has has upped the stakes a bit, because she doesn't scream or anything at first until it's way too late, because when her brother, Mike, turns around. He sees Twisty, and he starts screaming. He's the one who starts screaming. And then by the time the moms hear it and then show up, they're like, what happened? Where's your brother? And she points, the child points to an open window that, to be clear, myself as a 5'3" woman, I don't think I could fit through that window. Yeah. So I don't know how
I would need to jump.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I would have to I would definitely be breaking part of it on the way out, probably. If I, especially if I was trying to leave fast. Yeah, there's no way. I don't think a 6'7" clown holding a like 15-year-old boy, I don't think they are making it through that window like with a lot of grace and ease. Personally, she's like, the clown took him. And I'm like, okay. And then this is like not super relevant, but.
No, it is, Liz. Please tell them about the JPEG of a bucket. I implore you.
I don't know if they thought like whoever was at whoever. First of all, I'm sorry. I usually try to be kind of nice to people who worked on like the editing. But like whoever did the editing for this episode, dog shit at their job. Just absolutely
did not care.
Ass. We'll get some smoke effects later that are straight out of, like, Are You Afraid of the Dark? Like, it's insane. And in this scene, and this is also the scene where Sarah Paulson's CGI looks fucked up and weird, too. In this scene, I don't know, like, why they chose to do this. Like, I don't know if they, like, wouldn't think that the kid also got taken or what. Because when the brother comes into the room to fuck with her, it's because he's stolen her candy and he's holding her little jack-o'-lantern bucket. And he's like, I'm going to eat all your candy, me. And I guess they, like, didn't think we were smart enough to, like, realize that the kid had also been taken, even though that's literally what she said.
Oh, that it wasn't just Twisty showed up, harassed the kid, and then left through the window, right, and he went back to his room and was safe and fine. Yeah.
So what they did was, in this, like, weird, it's not even a full-on shot of the window. It's like an angled shot, so you can't even really see out the window that well. And there's two lawn chairs out there. They have overlaid a slightly transparent JPEG of the popcorn bucket or the candy bucket that he was holding. And it is, like,
it's so funny.
I mean, the shot's an angled shot, so, like, it's being partly obscured by the curtains. Half of the bucket is clipping over the curtains. Just like they fully just slapped a JPEG on there and was like, this way they'll know the kid got taken.
And I didn't notice the bucket at all until reviewing the shot, which begs the question of, did we need the bucket, gang? Did we really?
I personally don't think we did. I vote that we probably didn't.
That
but alas,
right.
Yeah. We did get a very funny screenshot out of it. So,
well, good news, everybody. It's time for us to get through our notes really quickly because there's a musical number coming.
Yeah.
Ta-da! Dot and Bette are practicing at the circus, and Amazon Eve and Paul, the, I almost said laminated seal. That'd be a very different guy. Paul, the illustrated seal, walk in, and they warn her, hey, even practicing is verboten on Halloween. Did you not get the part of, we don't perform even like a little bit on Halloween? Did you not catch that? And, you know, they start getting all high and mighty about it of, oh, it's just superstition. Who cares? Mm-hmm. And then Elsa just, like, there's not a door, right? Because it's like a tent. But if there was like a saloon door, she would have, like, full on 2 foot drop kick that fucker down and just, like, walked in the door and been like, I'm here, I'm performing. It's pretty good. It's a really fun entrance, I gotta say.
Yeah, also, not only that, but, like, she comes in as though she's expecting the future that was just told by Maggie to her to happen now, like, 15 minutes
right
later. And I'm like, that's not usually how fortune tellers work, because if you wanted that information, you could have just waited 15 minutes and not done a fortune telling. Like, I don't think fortune tellers make a lot of money on stuff that people could know if they just waited for, like, an hour.
Right, yeah.
they don't typically, unless it's, like, lottery numbers, maybe, and someone's really far behind.
Well, you know how it is. Sometimes you're hanging out and you just smoke a little too much opium, and as opium famously does, you get really wound up. you get a bunch of energy, and you're like, I gotta go for four.
The famous thing about opiates is how much you get done.
Yeah. Yeah. Like how opium dens were like always popping off and definitely not just a bunch of people lying on beds half alive.
No.
For sure.
Come on now. Talking crazy.
Elsa basically explains, like, yeah, you're right. You don't have to worry about performing tonight because I am, motherfucker. And Dot starts getting mouthy with her. And Elsa gets really mean and, like, really cutting out of nowhere. Like, Elsa probably did not need to go 0 to 1 million in the way she does. Like, she's just like, yeah, whatever. Some two-headed girl half-assedly sings out a shitty song. Fuck you. Get off my stage. Like, I've been here for 40 years. Whatever.
You hired her, Elsa. Like, what the fuck? But, yeah.
But I'm gonna be famous. A little white girl told me. She has magic powers.
And low iron. That's why she passed out. So I know what you're all thinking. Are we to the musical number yet? Yes. Congrats. Elsa tells Eve and Paul to get on the piano and drums so that we can get our musical number underway. They are not thrilled about it because they still don't want to do the superstition, which, Yeah, I don't really understand. Again, this goes back to why would you do something within like 2 hours of having your fortune told? But like that is not, I don't think, a strong enough argument or a strong enough like impetus for this character who has like participated in conversation about and also emphasized the superstition of not wanting to summon a murder ghost.
Yeah. You'd think, yeah.
And specifically, an elegant, handsome man with a secret demon face who is famously like a tall, elegant, dark-haired man, for example. Like the one that the fortune teller said will show up the next time you perform. It feels like she would be like, oh, that's the fortune teller telling me if I perform tonight, I get killed.
Right, right.
But
man, she's better at this than I thought. But I don't care. I'm going to sing anyway. And this time, you know how last time we had a song that was like 30 years in the future or whatever? Now we're like 80 years in the future because they have her sing a cover of Gods and Monsters by Lana Del Rey. And I get it. Lana Del Rey music sounds like it's kind of old. I love Lana Del Rey music. I take issue with mostly the fact that the chorus of the song, they could have picked any song. Again, they wrote it. It's their show. They don't have to put in things that are wrong. The literal chorus of the song is, it says something to the effect of living like Jim Morrison. That's like the hook of the song.
Yeah.
They didn't even change that lyric. They just have her sing it like several times. And I'm like, James, or I say James as though it's like his legal name.
James Morrison.
At the
honorable James Morrison.
Jim Morrison.
James Morrison. You get out of the 50s and back where you belong.
Yeah. He would have been 8 at the time that this show is set. So like, not only is he not making music, he's 8 years old. And the song's about like debauchery and being an addict. So cool. What a good... You could really tell that they were, like, having that, like, the Green Goblin mask calling to them from, like, their Glee days.
Oh, yeah, that's exactly...
In this season. They're like, we gotta put modern songs that people recognize in this thing.
Yeah, because, like, the thing, too, is almost every choice they make, to me at least, as somebody who's, like, really into music, feel just, like... shallower than a goddamn puddle. Like, they're really just like, hey, this one says monsters in the title, should we use that? Like, really? That guys, that's it? That's all you got? And like, that's how it feels for me, at least, of like most of their musical choices. It doesn't like particularly resonate with the character or the character's motivations or what's happening to them. Like,
it's just my friend, you know. Yeah, it's all such shallow bullshit and I hate it. Criminal's still the worst offender to me. We're like Dot and Better just singing a song about like, that's what we are. And it's like, I don't think there's anything else to be gleaned from it. It's so stupid.
Yeah.
The only one I really like have liked so far, and I don't even remember if I liked any of the ones after this one, but like the Life on Mars one from episode 1, even though it was like out of place. It's a song that is so nonsensical that you're like, all right, we're at a freak show. This is, everything is nonsensical. That, okay, this is at least thematic.
Yeah, agree.
However.
They're not strong enough at it to make like a whole like thing out of it, but you know, they will try. They will do that because they need to annoy us as much as possible, so whatever.
Had run time. Well,
anyway, we've performed on Halloween.
Yes.
Bad news, everyone. We performed on Halloween, which means you immediately summon the ghost, and it happens, like, right away. Like, this is so quick and so evident to multiple witnesses that I don't know how this isn't just, like, we have documented proof this happens. Do not perform on Halloween. Yeah. This is just a known phenomenon. Like, this isn't a superstition anymore. This is,
like, you can just check. Yeah.
You can just decide you don't like, on average, if we lose one person, it's more likely to be good for me. All right, let's perform on Halloween. Let's find out. I'll bring my iPad. Like,
he's here. She sees him, and like, to be clear, he does not look like a 1950s man. He looks like a 1800s man, which is, I think, when he's
like a Crowley figure.
Yeah, he's got like a top hat on, and a coat in Florida, which is already pretty suspicious, honestly.
Yeah, it's hot.
And he's got mutton chops. And Elsa sees this person, who is clearly a man from, like, the 1800s, and is like, I bet that's the guy who's going to make me famous. and then he disappears into a puff of smoke, but we don't, she doesn't see the smoke, only we do. And she's like, oh shit, I just summoned a ghost. This is what they've done every episode, which is, where I'm like, oh, okay, this is where the episode's gonna end, and it's gonna say to be continued.
Because, yeah, the episode's Edward Mordrake Part 1. We have completed the summoning of Edward Mordrake. We have a setup for it. And now Edward Mordrake Part 2 will be where we get into his stuff.
Yeah.
Because he's here now.
Exactly.
Sure.
That's how it goes. We've
terrible news. There's 11 more minutes.
We have more episodes.
It's not over yet.
How is it not over yet?
So it's nighttime. There's a bunch of weird music going on. Ethel's sitting in her camper, being all sad or whatever. And then sees the ghost of the human cannonball, who I believe was the first guy that was killed by Edward Mordrake.
Mm-hmm. That's the one she said she saw herself, because she's had this happen in another circus, I guess.
Oh, right. Yeah. And then, so that's not enough for her to put it together. So another lady whose throat was cut shows up. And then. And I know Liz already said it's some, like, are you afraid of the dark looking ass? But it is some, like, are you afraid of the dark looking ass? Like, I'm amazed they're not, like, running through some fun house mirrors with the camera skewing and getting all wiggly. It's some corny ass looking smoke. It's bad. Like, this would be, like, a cool level of bright green smoke at, like, a rave. I'd be into this, I think.
Or, like, Shrek Swamp, maybe, like, at night if there was an evil witch. Like, a Pixar movie, maybe. Mm-hmm. Like, something along those lines.
Yeah, or, like, if Shrek did a big fart and they needed to make sure you could see it was stinky.
Yeah, that's that. No, I got you there.
And then Edward Mordrake just shows up. And is like, hey, so, like, bad news, I'm Edward Mordrake. And she goes, yeah, you're Edward Mordrake. And he goes, okay, well, you know what the deal is. And she goes, hey, whoa, I didn't summon you. And he goes, yeah, that's tough.
Yeah.
I just gotta take somebody. It doesn't actually matter who does the summoning. I just gotta take someone. And I'm not gonna say this part out loud in the show or in the writing, but I figured it would be nice to go over someone who's, like, already on the way out anyway, you know? I'm a ghost. I can tell you of cirrhosis or whatever, I guess, because I can tell a lot of things about
you. You know what I hate the most about Edward Mordrake? And this is gonna be very apparent in part two, but Edward Mordrake is almost like a writing gimmick where, like, I feel like you shouldn't write like this, where it's like, hey, I got a real cheap and easy way to get all the characters' backstories in one shot. You know, like, you're not speed running when you're doing a script, you know, but, like, Edward Mordrake is the backstory demon. It's just your cheap way of, like, let's learn about all the characters.
He's the ghost of Christmas, the ghost of Halloween past, basically. Yes. He just, like, shows up and is like, tell me what your life was like.
Exactly. Yeah.
And then the characters get to look at the camera and tell us their life story.
So, by the way, that is literally what happens. Mm-hmm. Edward Mordrake walks up and goes, sorry, gotta take somebody. You know how it is. But it's interview time. So just tell me, and I'll let you know if the nasty face on the back of my head says you have to, you're a pure freak, so you don't have to go to hell or something. It's unclear.
It's an annoying scene.
So the demon face is in, like lie detector mode, kind of. Mm-hmm. And Ethel just, Edward Mordrake goes, tell me your backstory, Ethel. And if it doesn't make me a little sad, you're going to hell. And she goes, well, sit down, buddy boy. You're about to cry your tears out. Let me tell you about how Del screwed me. And so she describes her original act, which was like, yeah, I had a bunch of, like, sexy dancing ladies and, like, feathers and fans and whatnot, and then I would be in the middle of them, and it was, like, a fun reveal where, like, hey, there's all these, like, sexy dancing ladies, and then there's this other little lady in the middle with a beard, but she's still got, like, a ton of confidence, she's having a great time, everyone's cheering along, it's just kind of like, cool, why not? You know, like, this is, like, maybe the most positive freak show I can imagine. I was like, all right, I could get into this, I could see this. It's gonna be a good time. And so it's going really well, and it's going well for Del too, I think, at the same time. And, they kind of, like, fall in love, and decide they're going to take their show on the like on the road and be an independent act? Sure, why not? I guess that's Adele thing.
And he drives this idea, this terrible idea. Spoilers, you know.
Yeah. And so she goes from doing that big, like, you know, fun, like, song and dance Broadway production. Everyone's dancing, laughing, having a great time. It's cool. It's just like, hey, there's this lady. Check it out. To she stands in the middle of a stage alone, in silence, still inexplicably in a flapper dress, reciting Shakespeare.
Yep.
And she's just like, I guess people don't want the classics. And I'm like, what are you talking about, the classics? Like, hey, I'm a variety streamer. It's my job to know what people do and do not want. And I'll admit, it's hard. Sometimes you're wrong. Quite often you're wrong. But I could have told you this one. I could have told you this one 100 times out of 100. This is nothing. This is boring. Yeah. You have to ask yourself, would I want to be in the audience? And the answer for that one is emphatically no. No, I would not.
Yeah. But you know what will put asses in seats and sell tickets? The final part of Dell's weird villain backstory, which is that after they...
Yeah, so they've lost everything because they totally screwed up the show. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, basically that. And she's pregnant. And so she can't even perform like the shitty stuff. And he's like, well, there's only one thing we can do now. I'm selling tickets to your birth. And instead of saying no to that, Ethel's like, okay, let's see what you're cooking. So I know what you're thinking. They probably like set up a tent and it was like a sideshow attraction. Wrong. It was just Ethel like leaning against a tree outside.
It's like Dell was just like ready with like flags and tickets and stuff and like little rails or whatever and was just like, wait, are you going into labor? Oh my God, your water broke. Wait. Everybody gather around.
Yeah.
And apparently it works because he sells like 5 tickets to the freak birth, which I guess must have been like $1 million each, or else there's no way this plan is worth it in any universe.
But people are making fun of Jimmy, so Jimmy never had a day where he wasn't a freak.
That's the whole thing. Is it's literally like Ethel, like against a tree, being like, "Ooh," like having a child, you know, with no real support, and then just a bunch of random people around the outside being like, "Oh, marvel at this!" And I'm like, "You couldn't pay me to watch a random woman's child birth." Like, are you kidding me? Like, I worked in medical engineering. It's not like a cool thing to watch.
Also,
it's like, wow, that sure is coming out of there.
This is supposed to, and frankly, I think it's not that bad. In that it's supposed to come across like an irredeemably cruel kind of thing. So, like, I get it for the purpose of the show in a way, but it's also like, why would you watch that? You know what I mean? Like, you would have to be, you're kind of like, I don't know. Ooh. You know, like,
and even then, after it's done, and like Dell grabs his son,
right?
He then, and this is where they really try to sell it as like, no, Dell's like so bad. You have to hate this man.
Yeah.
Because he runs around with his kid and he's like, who wants to hold the monster baby? 2 bits each, 2 bits, hold this monster baby, which like, Come on, man. Like, what's the point?
It's
like too cartoonish.
That's exactly, yeah.
It's so cartoonish that I wish they would have cut back to Edward Mordrake either just being like, I don't believe you, or just being like, holy shit, lady.
Know, like,
and just like vanishing just instantly with no other words.
Like, don't just point me to Dell. We're going to hell. He's going to hell. That's easy. You may
Wait. Is that other guy here? Right. Holy shit. Let's go get him, boys.
Yeah.
So then Edward Mordrake hears all of this and is like, yeah, okay, I guess you get to live.
Yeah.
Yeah, this is a morality system, evidently. And if you're deemed, like, not sad enough, I will kill you. So the implication is that all the people he's killed up until now, like, weren't sad enough. They needed to be, like, sadder and have a sadder backstory. You know,
they weren't pure enough freaks or something.
Yeah, which is an insane thing to say to a woman who just has a beard. You know what I mean? Calling her a pure freak. Like, all right. And in case you're wondering, it's not like a big braided Viking beard. It's like a little bit of hair under the chin.
Yeah. Also, we blew past it, and I'll be quick since we're already running a little long. When they had their exchange in the field, Ethel and Del, they went on like a big tangent about, could we have ever had a normal life, do you think? Nah, normal life was never meant for us. And it's a conversation between a lady who could just use a razor and a regular white man.
Hey, like, you're right. It's just, yeah.
Two totally normal people who are just like, we never had a chance. The world wouldn't have accepted us. I'm like, fucking Schick will get you back into society.
Yeah.
Like, it's fine. Holy shit. Like, you shouldn't have to, but you can.
And it's like,
it's right there.
It's just like, actually, the most freakish thing is they had a lobster boy, you know? They shouldn't. They're just normal people, whatever, you know? Yeah. There's no genetic predisposition.
Honestly, that's a bit of a genetic lottery right there. Yeah.
That's wild. Maybe that freak birth was a good idea, actually. Maybe he knew, but...
Yeah, what would he have done if it was just like, normal kid?
Yeah.
Really normal. Wow, that sure is a baby.
Well, great. See ya, suckers. And he runs off and leaves her. And
thanks for the bits.
This will buy me a dumbbell.
What do Dell and Twitch streamers have in common? Thanks for the bits. I'm out. So we cut back to... Twisty's bus, regrettably down one Twisty right now. Dandy shows up in his bad, purge clown outfit. I haven't even seen the purge, and I know that's the correct descriptor, Liz.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, real generic clown. And then he really is struggling with being a horror villain. He's not great at it. He just kind of walks in and is like, trick or treat, trick or treat, trick or treat, trick or treat, and like saying it over and over. And he's like, I didn't think of any other lines.
What would a crazy guy say right here? I know.
And then trick or treat, trick or treat, and then holds out a bunch of candy. One of the starving children reaches through the cage for the candy. And then he tries to stab the kid, but his knife doesn't reach. What the heck? And then he just goes, too short. And then pulls a stick out and starts tying a knife to the stick. And I'm like, well, this is going to go wrong 10 types of ways. Dandy, you're no good. Wow, you're bad at this, buddy. And as he's like starting to electrical tape a knife to a stick to stab children at range, Twisty comes back with the nasty brother, to which Dandy just runs back and sees Twisty, and Twisty immediately does the, oh, brother. Dandy just hits him with a, ooh, more fun, yay, more pals. And, you know, Twisty immediately, why is this fucking galoot in my butt? What is this guy doing here?
It's so funny because every time this comes up, it's, again, like, Twisty kills people. So, like, he's not above killing people, but yet he's just, like, every time he has to deal with Dandy, who he clearly, like, is annoyed by and doesn't want to be around, he's just like, man, I wish there was a way I could get rid of this fucking guy. But he will not kill him, which is such a funny dynamic to me.
I can only kill people up to the age of 16, and then I'm just not into it anymore. That's the thing. He's just too old. Can't do it. What's the oldest person?
No,
I guess we'll have to keep track.
He killed the one kid that's in the bus's parents, so, like, pretty old.
Oh, okay. Yep, never mind. Twisty's just doing Twisty stuff.
Yeah, Twisty doesn't have, like, a reason. He's just vibing. He's vibes based. I can respect that.
That's what I like. No, like, and I'm being genuine. This is what I really do like about Twisty the Clown, is that he is a character. You don't know what his thing is going on with him. That's what makes him scary. That's what makes him good. I certainly hope he has never meets anyone who has to force him to tell a backstory. Oh.
That would be so fucked up, wouldn't it, Flo?
I haven't watched the next episode. You're not telling me they're taking my new least favorite guy, Edward Mordrake, and using him to ruin my favorite guy, Twisty. I'm going to pee myself to death. No way. Mm. No.
To be continued. The episode's over now.
Isn't just Liz rolling around in my despair. It's also, they do show to be continued at the end of this episode.
The end of this scene, this nothing scene for no one ever that has nothing to do with anything. It's just, oh, Twisty brought the kid that we already knew he kidnapped back to his bus, which is kind of where we assumed he was going to take him to begin with. Like, that's the cliffhanger. I'm doing enormous air quotes. That's the cliffhanger that this to be continued.
Dandy and Twisty have already met in the bus with awareness that crime is happening. There's not like some big cliffhanger here at all.
Yeah, there was when Edward Mordrake was a ghost watching Elsa sing and then he disappeared in front of her eyes. That was a pretty good cliffhanger.
Or him appearing, like a green smoke rolls in, we see a mysterious man, we see Elsa's eyes light up, and then to be continued. Also, perfect, because she doesn't realize the danger she's in. That'd be
also,
great.
Also, you know what like, kills me just quick too? When we see him approach, he's walking in this cool shot in front of a Ferris wheel, and I'm like, wait, why is there a Ferris wheel here? It's not a circus. We keep there's no one to work the Ferris wheel. But
we don't have a Ferris wheel at this circus, but yet it's in this shot. And to be clear, like, it's a cool shot. If we had a Ferris wheel, that would kick ass. We don't, which is strange. I don't think they know what a to be continued is, frankly, because every episode of TV that is episodical is technically to be continued. That's why it's a TV show and not a movie. If TV shows were all just like one long TV show, then it wouldn't be a show. It'd be a really fucking long movie.
And I wouldn't be mad if it was a stylistic choice, right? Because like JoJo's Bizarre Adventure always ends in to be continued, but it's fine because they always do it.
That's their thing, yeah.
Because it's a stylistic choice. This is a one-time stylistic choice, meaning they don't normally do it, but they decided to do it here. I cannot explain why. Other than maybe like when they originally aired this episode to like a test audience or something, they were just like, oh, that's the ending? And like legitimately like had to stand up and were confused, which is fair because it's a really bad scene to end an episode on. And so they were like, oh, we should make sure they know it's the end of the episode or else they might get confused when they're watching all of them in a row on Netflix or whatever.
I hate it. I've never been more tilted by an end card ever. Because again, this is the second time where they've done this, where like they have an ending, this in this case being the end card, where like, it's not an egregious thing to have if it makes sense, but the thing that's even more fucking infuriating is just like the first episode, there was a scene where this would have made sense if they used it 10 minutes ago and ended the episode 10 minutes ago, just like they did in episode 1 of this season. And it's like, why do you keep, there's gotta be some more stuff that's getting cut out on the cutting room floor that could have padded the runtime so you don't have to keep adding these 10 minutes onto the end of episodes that are clearly resolved.
Could cut a musical number.
Yeah.
Yeah, you could do that. Yeah. Yeah. If you're
or
a cat.
Make one longer. Have two musical
Glee
numbers.
Looking ass.
To be continued.
Well, next time everybody, look forward to be continued in Edward Mordrake part 2 next time, where apparently they ruined the one anchor I have in this mortal plane known as Twisty the Beautiful Boy Clown. I can't believe this. Yeah. Aye, aye, aye. Till next time, everybody. Have a great night.